Please be seated. Bedtime in my household includes reading what we call God stories and saying our prayers. In one of our children's prayer books, there is a prayer reminiscent of one from my childhood and probably your childhood, but slightly altered. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Guide me safely through the night and wake me in the morning light. When I was a child, I was taught the prayer this way. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I see nods. That's the familiar version to us. On one hand, when I encountered this prayer as a parent, I agreed that perhaps this is an appropriate change. The old prayer was rather solemn, even ominous, and certainly as a parent, I felt that death had no place in a child's bedroom. On the other hand, however, I question whether the change was made to protect children or to avoid offending their parents. To what degree, I wonder, does this newer prayer simply reflect the tenor of our times? While we seem to have a nearly insatiable appetite for graphic images of violence and death in our television, movies and video games and news, we simultaneously appear increasingly to be in denial of the common, everyday garden variety of death which awaits each of us. Hospitals routinely refer to their patients not as dying, but speak of their expiring. The Air Force does not report the deaths of pilots who crash in combat or training, but rather relates that some pilots experienced uncontrollable landings into terrain. And even at church, people desire to have a celebration of life rather than what our Book of Common Prayer faithfully calls the burial of the dead. In this light, this festival, we celebrate this Sunday, All Saints' Day, appears such an odd affair. In stark contrast to a culture which worships youth and boasts that you can have it all, All Saints' Day lifts up the stark reality of our mortality by celebrating all of those who have died in the faith. Today in the North Chapel, people have adorned our All Saints altar with pictures and mementos of loved ones who have gone before us, who have died. And at the Eucharist, we will name aloud those in our church who have died in the past year and passed into nearer presence of God. And this is as it should be. But notice, the color of All Saints' Day is not the black of Good Friday and mourning, but rather the white and gold of the Easter celebration. For on this day, we do not merely acknowledge death, but we place it in its proper context. After all, we gather to worship the one who was given power over death. The one, as St. John narrates in today's gospel, who raised Lazarus from death to life. The one whose own death and resurrection gave witness to the trustworthiness of the promise made in the first two readings, that God will one day bring an end to the reign of death, causing mourning and suffering to cease, and wiping every tear from our eyes. It is from the light of the Easter dawn that we confront the darkness of death. And it is from this side of Christ's resurrection that we gain the courage not to deny death, but to defy it. To defy its ability to overshadow and distort our lives. For the risen Christ has promised us that death does not have the last word. What a difference this makes. Not just about our attitude about death, but also about life. Because on this day, as on Easter, we recall most powerfully that we are those persons who have been joined by holy baptism to Christ's death and resurrection. As the Apostle Paul writes, "Do you not know that all those who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." According to Paul, we are those persons who have been promised not only life eternal, but also abundant life here and now. And this means at least two things for us. First, death no longer terrifies us. Promised a share of Christ's resurrection, we can look even death in the eye and not blink. For this reason, while we mourn the death of our loved ones, we also celebrate their triumph, their victory, as they now rest from their labors and live with Christ in glory. Second, and perhaps more importantly, life no longer terrifies us either. For our whole life is now sanctified, that is, made holy and given a purpose through God's promise to be with us and for us and to use us and all of our gifts, all of the gifts God has given us to God's own glory. Here we see the true significance of the name of this day, All Saints' Day, far more clearly. Saints are not only those people in the Bible or in church history who did great things, nor are saints only those who have died for their faith. Saints aren't even only those who are of such great moral courage, kindness, or discipleship that they set an example for the rest of us. Saints are also, and especially, all of those who have been baptized into Christ. All of those who have been baptized into Christ. Our word saint comes from a Greek word meaning holy ones, a word which itself stems from a Hebrew one meaning set apart for the Lord's use. In holy baptism, you see, each of us is set apart, consecrated, named, and called by God to be God's children, partners, and co-workers in the world. In other words, baptism equals ministry. And because God has set us apart and called us saints, in baptism. We have God's promise that God will use us, our talents, abilities, interests, resources, our whole lives to further God's will. This gives our lives meaning and reminds us of the tremendous significance of our daily routines, all of our roles, spouse, parent, child, citizen, employer, employee, coworker, volunteer, friend, and so many others. All of these become places where we take our stand as God's co-workers and partners. When we seek to answer the question, how do you experience God the giver in your life? It is in these daily roles and routines that we discover God's gifts to us. And these are the prayers of thanksgiving that you have written on the school of fish that hangs in front of us over our chancel. As students of Jesus, we study our lives for God's gifts to us. And we discover our holy work, our calling, the work that God has set apart and called holy because it is done by holy people. Today, as we look toward heaven to celebrate life triumphant that some of our beloved now enjoy, we are also to look at the variety of seemingly mundane activities all around us that are actually invitations for saintly activity, for holy work, for ministry. The coming elections, the work you do at your places of employment and volunteering, the homes you nurture, your studies, your hobbies. These are the arenas in which you respond to God's call to live as one set apart for a purpose, cultivating the health of the world God loves so much. And as people set apart for God's holy purpose, as baptized members of Christ's body, you have ministries to be lived out here at church, talents and treasures to be shared in church. Today, as we celebrate our patronal feast of All Saints Day, you're invited at the offertory to bring your pledge commitment card along with your weekly offering to the altar, to offer to God a portion of your treasure in thanksgiving for the many gifts that God has given you. Your giving strengthens the ministries of our congregation that we might equip the saints God has given us in this time, in this place. I thank God for all of you. All Saints Day is our day. And not just because it's our patronal feast, but because we are those people who have been set apart to do God's work in the world. Those whom God has promised to accompany for all of our living and dying unto new life. And those who are joined to all of the faithful who have lived, labored, and died in the faith before us. And after directing our gaze both vertically to give thanks for those who have departed us for a time and live now with God. And then directing our gaze horizontally to all of our callings here and now, we are sent out into the world as God's beloved and capable saints, called and set apart to do God's work. And when you return home at night and climb into bed, wearied by your labor, perhaps you'll call to mind an old and solemn prayer, a prayer of confidence and courage, which God has promised to answer for all of God's saints, young and old alike. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen.